Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Are you ready?
Man, I've been preparing for this my whole life.
Guys, you hear that? Ben Snure is ready to go. Before we get to it, oh, by the way, this is the Full Blast Podcast, and I am Jeff Fader, and I'm here with the great Ben Snure. Ain't got much better than that. Before we get to it, let's just talk a little bit of business. First things first, I want to thank my friends at Broadbeck Ironworks, makers of the 2x72 grinder. This grinder is awesome, and it is, there's a 10% discount on all the grinders, attachments, parts, all that stuff. Go to BroadbeckIronworks.com and you put in the promo code KNIFETALK10. Definitely worth it. I love these guys and they just moved, and go follow them on Instagram. Ryan's doing a lot of like what's going on in the shop. They just moved their shop and it's bigger and better, and he's got they're doing their power hammer, and there's a shorter lead time on the power hammer and stuff like that. So definitely go check out those guys over at Broadbeck Ironworks. Many thanks to Ryan and the guys. Even Heat. My friends at Even Heat, I want you to know that they're the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available, and I agree. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-shield.com, get the taps control, get the solid state drive. I do all my stainless in the Even Heat. I do all my stabilizing wood in my Even Heat. I know people who do their glass blowing, all the glass annealing and all that stuff, pottery, all that stuff, use Even Heat. So go to evenheat-shield.com and see what the fuss is about. And then with that said, I want to take a hair more time with my guys over at Maritime Knife Supply. Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for all your belt knife making needs, belts, abrasives, steels, kilns, forges, press, heat treating ovens, all that stuff. And I have an announcement to make, because this is the de minimis, the $800 de minimis exemption, which was what we had. And allowed the United States allowed people sending stuff under $800 to not get tariffed and all that stuff. It's been taken away. So what's going on is the tariffs come from it's the item and the item's place of origin. So from now on, if you order from Maritime Knife Supply, the products available to United States residents will only be products that are made from United States, Canada, or Mexico. All the other stuff's going to be paused for a bit until they can figure out a way to do the brokerage fees and figure out how to deal with the tariffs coming in the United States. Meanwhile, what I would suggest is definitely supporting Maritime Knife Supply like I do. Get your Norton abrasive belts there. Get your Razor Stars. He has a lot of products that you can sell in the United States. And you should definitely support him. He supports the New England School of Metalwork and the Center for Metal Arts. And if you're in Canada and you're not using Maritime Knife Supply, shame on you. You ain't no much better than Lawrence Lake. So we're working it out. He's trying to figure out the easiest way to get stuff over the United States without killing you with tariffs and stuff like that. We support him. Go support MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. Next, my friends at Trojan Horse Forge, makers of the Saber Oil Knife Finishing Vise. And they are selling T4 Sentinel Oil, and they are doing classes, and they're selling knives. Go to TrojanHorseForge.com. Definitely get that Saber Oil Knife Finishing Vise, and put in the promo code FULLBLAST10 for 10% off. Next, my friends at Baker Forge, BakerForge.com, Baker Forge, a tool on Instagram. You got to get yourself some of that exotic steel, ladies and germs. And if you want that copper, my bronze, my sand, my all that stuff, you got to go to Baker Forge, and when you put in promo code full blast at wherever you're checking out at BakerForge.com. Get 10% off. They teach you how to use it. They hold your hand the whole way. They show you how to grind it. If you're a stock removal guy, this is the material for you. And they teach you how to heat treat it. And then they teach you how to etch it using their proprietary etchant, Gator Piss. And that's right, GatorPiss. Gator short for alligator, piss is short for urine. They have two new friends. Gator Piss has two new brothers in their situation. Gator Piss Max is for all that stainless steel etching. You don't have to use the muriatic acid anymore. And Gator Piss Heavy is for that black, and for the production stuff. So definitely go check out that. And you can also buy Gator Piss at Texas Ferrier Supply. Texas Ferrier Supply is awesome. They have the Rhino Wet. That's where I buy my Rhino Wet. I just got a grip of Rhino Wet from them. They have stuff for blacksmiths, knife makers, all that stuff. And if you go to the checkout, you put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you're going to get 10% off your entire order. So definitely check out Texas Ferrier Supply. Many thanks to Baker Forge as well. I want to thank my friends at Total Boat. TotalBoat.com/FullBlast is your shop for adhesive, paints, primers, polishing compounds, and more. I just always use their Total Boat High Performance 2-Part Epoxy. I use their UV Cure Resin, and I just made a block of stabilized walnut hybrid with their Fathom Thick Set. I got a video up that I linked with Full Blast Podcast on Instagram and Fader Knives, and it turned out great. And they have the dyes that are formulated for the epoxy. They have the dyes and the sparkles and all that stuff. So definitely, and you know, and for everyone asked me about the Fathom Thick Set, you don't have to use a pressure pot. I got no bubbles. This thing is sick. So definitely go check out Total Boat, and we'll be seeing them at Maker Camp. I'm going to be doing something with them. I'm not 100% sure what, but go, if you're going to Maker Camp, stop on by and say hello. I just got a huge package from GL Hansen & Sons. Many thanks to Greg Hansen, g.l._Hansen & Sons. They make this beautiful Gicarda, which is a unique composite of natural fibers and fabrics mixed under epoxy and pressure. The Bofa, the Ripple Cut, Tuxini, Mahi Mahi, Radio Worm, Gicarda. These are all names of this amazing cross-cut. I keep calling it cross-cut because it really looks like cross-cut. It's amazing. It's handle material. He sent me a pile of these different trout-like fish scales, and they're beautiful. And we're going to put two up on the website of Fader Knives. They look awesome. So definitely support our friends over at GL Hansen & Sons. I love what they're doing. Many thanks to my friends at Tormek, celebrating 50 years of being in business with the Black TH sharpening system. If you're sharpening knives professionally, this is a really great opportunity for you to get yourself. You're taking off the right amount of material without undercutting. I know a lot of people like to use their belts because they think the belts are faster. The problem is if you're using a slack belt when you're putting on an edge, there's a very good chance that you're going to undercut, meaning you're going to take too much material off the heel. I'm noticing it a lot more, and I only notice it because it happened to me. I went back to the Tormek because I love it. It takes off the right amount of material. Doesn't heat your knife up too much. You can use the jigs. You don't have to use the jigs. It's repeatable, and it made me a better knife sharpener. So Tormek.com or Tormek_sharpening on Instagram, and I'm going to be doing something with them soon, too. If you're in Australia and you're thinking to yourself, I want to buy all the things that Jeff's talking about, but I haven't taken a class yet. What you can do is you can go to nordicedge.com.au, and they teach classes. They teach blacksmithing, leatherworking, spoon carving, knife making, and you can kind of get a feel for if this is for you. Not only do they teach great classes, but they also sell a lot of supplies. If you're in Australia, they're very well respected. They're not going to sell you that bullshit. I know that there was somebody selling the fake Rhino Wet. They're reputable guys. Mert Tansu's involved with them, which is good enough for me. Sausage Man Forge, they're awesome. Bjorn's unbelievable. They have the guidance to help accelerate your creativity and the tools, products, and supplies to help you manifest your ideas. NordicEdge.com.au. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank my friends at Phoenix Abrasives, PhoenixAbrasives.com. They are the suppliers of superior abrasive products for every application, knife making, metal fabrication, glass fabrication, floor sanding and crankshaft, belts, grinding, cutting discs, flap discs, surface conditioning, all that stuff. They got it all. Sometimes I get some specialty belts from them, and I'm amazed at the variety of belts that they have. So when you go to PhoenixAbrasives.com, load that card up and you put in the promo code FB10, you're going to get 10% off your order. So many thanks to my friends at Phoenix Abrasives, and many thanks to all my sponsors, and many thanks to my main man, Ben Snoor's back. You all want him back, and so do I. Ben Snoor, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good.
Yeah?
Real good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a weird summer, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Lots been going on, and, you know, good stuff, bad stuff, and funny stuff.
Well, I like that.
I might as well get right into it. I auditioned for a commercial last week.
That is not what I expected to come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's hilarious. So a casting agent reached out to the website because they're looking for authentic blacksmithing. An authentic-looking blacksmith
so
in the tri-state area.
Dirty.
Well,
black pants,
I think...
Dirty.
You know what? I don't know the...
Shadow.
Well, see, that's what I thought, too. I'm like, these motherfuckers think he's going to get a guy with a beard, you know, and like a kilt or something. And and the crazy part is so we, you know, Allison said, oh, you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, it's tri-state area. They'll pay me for a day or two. You'll pay the company. I mean, the money goes into the Fader Knives.
Excellent.
And I thought, what the hell? We can all we have to do. I mean, how many blacksmiths are there going to be? So what they really were looking for was a degree of authenticity, and I'm thinking to myself, well, how the fuck are they going to say, you know, how can they possibly know about authenticity? So they had me send in sizzle reel. I did like a cut-up video of me forging. They wanted pictures of me, video of me forging. And then they interviewed me, and I'm thinking to myself, well, who the fuck's going to be the judge of this commercial? Like, I have more experience in, what's it going to be? Jay Nielsen is going to be the judge. You know, it's like, it's going to be a real blacksmith going to be the judge. So the young woman was asking me all these questions. She's like, so what kind of tools do you use? I'm like, I use a hammer like this. And she says, what else? And I'm like, tongs. And she says, that's good enough for me. So it's for I haven't signed any paperwork yet for NDAs and stuff like that. And I think I'm going to find out probably this week, I'd imagine, because it's a very fast turnaround. But it's like some famous boot company. So
it was just some woman that wanted you to say hammer and tongs.
I mean, we kind of looked into it just to make sure this wasn't some fucking, you know, take off that shirt and let's see you move them titties around.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, that's what my wife said. She's like, I hope they've asked you to take your shirt off, you dummy. And I was like, well,
I mean,
if it means I can get out of the shop for the day.
Hell yeah, let that flab jiggle.
I'm going to show you them titties. There you go, madam. Blacksmith with titties. I'm with you. I'll be that guy. So,
So any idea what you're going to be doing in this commercial?
I was looking at some, you know, I don't know if it's print or if it's a commercial. I feel like it's going to be a commercial. There is a boot company that does, like, commercials of, like, metal workers. They wanted a guy who deals with, like, sledgehammers and chisels, too. A rock guy. So they're looking for some, like, authentic. I'm gonna just go out there and go out on the limb and say I think it's Timberland, because Timberland is, like, the funny thing about Timberland is, you know, the hilarious part about this company Timberland is it's synonymous with New York, because everybody wears those classic, and you've seen them.
Yeah.
The classic Timberland boot is like more of a fashion thing than a work boot thing.
So do you reckon they're trying to rebrand back as like a work boot company?
They have this style of a different style of boot than the classic. So the classic, if you saw the classic Timberland boots, it's usually in a rap video or, like, you know, if, like, the Yankees sweep a team, somebody will post a picture of the Timberland boot, and they're called Butters. Because they're butter, you know, the color's like butter, mm-hmm. You know, they're butter smooth, and keep them clean, and you don't lace them all up, and, you know, the way you and I would wear boots is not the way you'd wear a pair of Timberlands.
No.
So they have like,
no,
I think
I'm not
like
LL Cool J.
Yeah, you are. I bet you could. I bet you could wear a pair of Timbos. You can have them put butters on there. So I think that they have like kind of like a pro series that they don't want to fuck around with. Like, you know, let's keep the fashion. They've created this, you know, this bizarre fashion, you know, Timberland. And then now I think they have like a pro series. I'm not 100% sure. I'm taking I didn't sign any paperwork yet, any NDAs, but they said it's a big boot company. And I said, well, which one is it? And she says, you could probably guess. So tri-state area, I'm going with Timberland. So
all right.
I got a feeling it's going to be forging, like quick cuts of somebody forging. And, you know, I also like the idea of having a degree of authenticity too, because you don't really see a lot of authentic. I mean, not that I'm going to.
When I think of the modern Samuel Yellen, I mean, Jeff Fader's the first one I think of.
You know, the funny part is like three of our listeners will know that fucking reference. That's like the best thing.
Come on, give them a little more credit than that.
That's the best thing. That's the best thing. That's what our all of the listeners are looking for. What's the best Polish immigrant designer blacksmith that came over to the United States? Samuel Yellen. Oh, yeah. I can see all these guys in the Bronx saying, hey, look, it's that Samuel Yellen looking guy wearing Tim's, wearing Butters. So we'll see. I mean, you know, the day rates. Fine, you know, it's, you know, doesn't
was it like
hurt.
500 a day?
It was like 800.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
if I don't
bad
go
all.
Very far. No, and I think that I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's not coming into it's going straight.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Straight into the, you know, payroll and stuff like that. But I figured, what the hell, you know? Live a little.
I desperately hope that they dress you in, like, old school authentic, you know, pants up to your nipples and over suspenders and, you know, like a little shitty black bowler cap or something like that.
Bro.
Fake mustache.
I am, and I said to the woman, because I saw, like, a...
And then Timberlands.
Yeah. I saw some pictures on their website of, you know, like, what they're looking for in a blacksmith, and they're like, you know, this dude is, like, using a ball peen hammer, and I'm like, wait, can we just... Is it possible that if I get it, you know, I know that it's, you know, it's... cart before the horse. Can I bring tools to make sure that, because you motherfuckers don't know if it's authentic.
Now
or
here's
not.
The question, whose hammer are you going to use? Are you going to use a Snurer or an Ariani or a Dufton or a Jeff Fader or a Hoffy? Like, you got a selection, dude.
Bro, you just put me in a bind.
Yeah,
because you know what I'm gonna have to do?
You're gonna
have
to
bring
your own.
I was gonna bring my own, but then I was just like, you know what, let them choose. Man, that's going to be the bet. That's going to be the big question. I'm going to bring your hammer. I'm going to bring John's hammer. I'll bring Pat's hammer, my hammer, Cliff's hammer. Who else do I got a hammer from?
A Home Depot hammer just for shits and gigs?
I'm not going to bring a Hoffy hammer. No, they wouldn't believe that. That's a real hammer.
Yeah.
They wouldn't believe. Come on, that's not
Where's
a blacksmithy
the
hammer. Yeah, that they wouldn't believe. So... I'll be a big secret, and we'll reveal it. It'll
Love
be the
it.
Reveal of which is whose hammer's picked. But that's a great idea.
You gonna have to supply like your own anvil and that sort of thing?
I really didn't want to ask too many questions, considering I hadn't gotten it yet. But at the same time, like, I've been in this situation where it seems like it's a lock, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, how many other blacksmiths? And I'm, you know, I can, you know, I'm not like, I think that they're looking for someone who doesn't look like, you know, the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
No offense to all you older, reader, bearded blacksmiths.
Well,
but I mean, you know, how do you sell a pair of professional shoes to a guy who should have been retired? You know, it's
that's a decent question. But I mean, what are you going to do if you show up and, you know, they're going for all this authenticity and then they've got, you know, a 30-pound cast iron Harbor Freight anvil sitting on some cinder blocks?
I agree with you. My suggestion will be, my thought here's my thought process, and this has come from years of, like, you know, cart before the horsing it.
Uh-huh.
I don't really want to talk about it until I fucking sign it. I don't even want to I don't want to help them until I've gotten it, you know. But at the same time, I'm not schlepping a fucking Peter Wright. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, well, which anvil do I bring? And then do I have to bring a four?
No,
this could be some
you come
bullshit.
To my shop.
Yeah, well,
set your lights up.
But that's a fucking wreck too, because then the whole thing is they have a, you know, it's a. The whole thing's crazy, and I don't also want to be like, well, that's not really how they would do it. You know, it's a fucking commercial. It's not a fucking documentary. And they're going to be looking at them shoes. They're going to look at
that's a good
fucking
point.
Harbor Freight anvil, which would be hilarious, too.
And
can you imagine if I
feel like it's fairly likely.
It is fairly likely. It's also fairly likely that I'll throw myself around about it. I'm like, well, I'm not. You can't make me use that fucking Home Depot.
You wanted a real blacksmith, bro.
Yeah,
here I am. I'm not using that shit.
Yeah, if you just wanted someone to stand,
get the fuck out of here.
You could have gotten anybody. That's hilarious. That's the problem. The problem is where do you go?
I don't know. What do you mean?
I mean, like, at what point do it's enough enough? They're going to, you know, they're... And here's the funny part about TV in general, and you know this because you were on Forge and Fire and all that. The viewer thinks they're looking for authenticity. I need to make it authentic. But the TV people, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They're just trying to sell some fucking boots. They don't care about what anvil I should be bringing. They want something that's going to look cool.
Yeah, but I would imagine that you'd care at least a little bit because your face is going to be on there for eternity.
It might not. I mean,
assuming you get it.
I don't necessarily think this is going to be like a Nestea plunge commercial. Remember those?
I don't know.
Guys, like, how great are those commercials? So to the listener, the Nestea plunge back in the 80s and the 90s. I think it was the 80s. This dude would be doing some heavy yard work. Heavy yard work.
I remember these commercials.
And he'd be wiping his brow, and he's just, the sun's beating down, and he's doing all this yard work, and he's fucking hot and destroyed. And then somebody gives him a glass of Nest tea that was mixed up from powder, you know. And he takes a sip, and then the next thing you see is him just, like, falling backwards into a swimming pool.
I remember that.
The Nest tea plunge. What? No, I mean, I don't think that's going to be. I think it's probably going to be, like, sparks and some forging. I'm sure my face isn't going to be on it. And then there's going to be a boot somewhere. I don't think it's going to be.
Here's something about all this, too, is... They're going to be a brand new pair of boots, which are just going to look out of place on a dirty, you know, overall wearing blacksmith.
Right.
But what do you do?
It's not my problem.
No. And then do you wear long sleeves or short sleeves? Do you show off all the tats, or they probably want those covered up? What do you think?
I know exactly what it is, because there's like a wardrobe day. Oh. If it happens, that's another $800.
Sweet.
Second day, the wardrobe day, that's another paid day.
It's getting
day
better
there.
And better.
I mean, I shouldn't be saying all this, but I mean, I didn't get it yet.
Man,
so.
Imagine having $1,600 worth of Timberland boots that go towards Fader Knife Company.
Oh my God. Can you just imagine? Like, we wanted you to have a lifetime supply of butters.
Yep.
Like, ah.
In lieu of payment, we are supplying boots for now on.
From your whole family.
Uh-huh.
We expect you all to work. My wife's going to go to work and fucking Timberlands.
The Christmas card's going to be awesome.
Oh, dude, the dog's going to have Timberland booties on. It's going to be like, hey, guys, we're going to get the Timberland jackets, and it's going to be like, and we're going to, and then the we're going to have the rapper Timberland on there.
The Timberland jackets, I mean, they've got to be like three sizes too big.
Oh yeah. 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 Like that. Like when, George Costanza in Seinfeld, where he comes in the overpriced, you know, the oversized ski jacket.
Yeah.
With the fur on it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Could be Keens, for Christ's sakes.
Well, that'd be cool.
I don't know.
I got a pair
of
Keens.
Idea.
I like them.
The only hilarious part about this whole thing is that I agreed to do it. You know, normally in a situation like this, I'd be like, I just have too much to do. I don't really. This isn't really for
me. Yeah, but why? Why wouldn't you do it? What do you got to lose?
I thought this is the very least. This is decent content.
Yeah.
And it could be funny. It could be funny, and I could. And then I could break it down later and just say how stupid this part was. I don't know what, you know, if I get it, I'm there, I ain't listening to this. if I get it, and then, like, I don't know what the NDA is in regards to what I can talk about or not talk about, but, you know, I haven't signed shit yet, so.
Perfect.
But that's, yeah, so we're waiting on that, and then, yeah, it's just been a weird fucking summer, dude. How have you been?
Man, I've been good. I've been real good. We got the house bought.
Congratulations.
We got some cows put over there on the land. We had a phenomenal wet spring, early summer. It's been pretty mild around here. Like my wife quit her job and got a new one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is she happy?
I don't know. Okay. Kind of, I guess.
I mean, is it different, same
it's,
career?
It's still
path,
in the teaching realm.
Okay.
So she taught for Clarendon ISD, and then they have these regions in Texas, and I don't know how many of them there are, maybe like 24, but the one in the Texas Panhandle is called Region 16, and it's an organization, I don't know exactly if it's a corporation or if it's a nonprofit, but they basically assist low-income schools integrate like new curriculums and state mandates. And so she teaches coaches and administrators how to better do what the state's saying that they have to do.
Okay.
And so
will she be dealing with students or?
No, she's whenever she signed up for it, she was going to be teaching teachers, coaching teachers, and then within the first week they said, "You know, we like you. We're going to give you a raise and a promotion, and now you are coaching administrators."
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's so exciting.
It was a pretty big pay increase, which doesn't take much when you're a teacher.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
She's got to work summers, but, you know, she's 50% of the time from home. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff to it. A lot of really good stuff. But it's just
great.
Different. And I think, you know, since school started last week, like she's kind of missed the classroom a bit.
Oh, but, yeah?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just an adjustment, but I think she likes it pretty good, and I think as time goes on and she finishes up all the bullshit training she's got to do, it'll be really good.
There's a new law in New York State where in the schools where all cell phones have to be put away and watches, anything connected to the internet, has to be put away or gets taken away. The first time they take it away, the second time it has to be in like a, you know, a locked bag or something,
yeah,
like that. But it's a big deal because like all these kids are, you know, gorking out on their phones.
Well, and how do you really do that these days? Because even my kids have got computers from school. Or
iPads. I think
or
it's
iPads.
The phone thing.
So it's
I
just...
think it's the, these kids are, you know, scurrilous.
Oh,
everyone's got earbuds in all the time.
It's an addiction.
It's bad. It's really bad. And you know, it's they're really taking it very seriously, and it's going to be a lot of extra, like, it's going to be statewide. It's going to be a lot of extra punishing because these kids are just not used to this. You know, they're just not used to not having their phone at their hand.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a law now. So, like, I was trying to read, and I was like, well, what happens if you can't really, what do you throw the kid out of class or throw the kid out of school? Or he's not going to get arrested.
I mean, you can't, like, take the phone and never give it back either.
No, you can't do that. But, you know, then at the same, I think the idea is like, you if you get caught using it in schools, this is New York statewide, they can confiscate it, or then they'll give you, I guess they have these bags that are locked that you can put it in. At the same time, there are emergency issues where you don't want your kid to have a phone.
You know what? But there was emergency issues before cell phones.
100%.
You know, your parents called your school and said, you know, hey, whatever. And they sent you a note in class.
How great was it when you got a call from home and you got taken out of class?
Generally pretty good, but also, like, it never happened for a good reason.
Right. I was too stupid to realize it's not going to be a good reason.
It's kind of the same as like whenever you're in school and you're like, damn, I just want to be at home sick today. Like, I don't want to do this shit. And then you're homesick. And you know what happens when you're homesick? You're fucking sick. And it sucks.
You never faked being sick?
Oh, shit, yeah. Hell yeah.
What was it? It never worked. It never worked?
No, I'll tell you I had to be dying to be able to stay home from school.
What was the worst one that you thought was going to work that didn't work?
In high school, I ate about a half a can of Copenhagen snuff trying to make myself throw up, and it didn't work, so I just felt like shit all day.
Oh, my God. That's fucking horrible.
Yeah, I had a big test that I obviously, you know, of course, didn't study for, and thought, well, you know, if I go home sick, I'll probably study for it, which I wouldn't have. And so I tried like hell to get out of it, and it just didn't work.
And you just, like, open the hatch and then down the hatch?
Pretty much.
How bad did that feel?
It wasn't great. I mean, just kind of nauseous for the rest of the day, or for, you know, 3-4 hours.
Ugh. That's the worst part is you didn't get any, like...
No benefit out of it.
You just punished yourself. You just completely punished yourself for nothing.
But, you know, I tried the stuff like putting a heating pad on my head or, like, swishing around hot water trying to get a fever and all that stuff. And, of course, you know, put a heating pad on your forehead and you, Mom, I'm sick. Come feel my forehead. Well, holy shit, it's 350 degrees.
I was just going to tell you, I did that fucking, woke up one morning and did not want to go to school. And I said, Mom, I'm really not feeling well. And she brought me breakfast and she brought me this tea. And she says, when you're done, you know, you take your temperature. So I put the thermometer in the tea.
Uh-huh.
So it's, what's fucking the tea, 140 degrees or something, 130 degrees? So fucking she looks at it, it's like 130 degrees, and she goes, well, this must be some sort of mistake. I'm like, no, Dad, Mom, I'm really sick. I'm like, yeah, but she'd be
really
like
really sick.
He'd be like super duper dead. He'd be like the deadest.
Yeah.
If it's like you're on the verge of exploding.
Yeah, spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, so that fucked me up completely. I mean, as soon as... And why does your thermometer smell like tea? You know, all of a sudden it smells like herbal tea. I don't know. It was a coincidence.
It's that rare chamomile disease. It doesn't last long, though.
The funniest thing, the most disgusting thing my uncle once said to me was when I was really feeling very ill. My dad used to have cows. Did I ever tell you that?
Yeah.
My dad had cows. He had black Angus. Black Angus, and the black Angus would. There was a old apple orchard on the vineyard, and the cows would eat all the apples, the rotten ones. They'd get drunk or something like that. It's like fucking bizarre. But I remember that I was feeling sick, and my uncle said, "Oh, and Jeff, you're gonna get the old thermometer." And he says to me, "Jeff, you know, remember, you know what the difference between a rectal thermometer and a oral thermometer is?" And I said, "No, I don't know that." And he goes, "It's the taste." And then as soon as it went in, he's like, "Oh, that's the one you use for the cows, right, Ben?" You know, so.
So where was your dad's vineyard at?
It was basically an hour and 45 minutes north of New York City in the Hudson River. So it was it wasn't on the Hudson, but it was in the small town called Clinton Corners. And it was a real, like, you know, a nice little town, a nice little rural area, not too far from a very, very expensive area called Millbrook. And then he got this place, and then he realized that, you know, based on spending time in France and spending time with people at Cornell University, and this is back in the 70s, that he was either going to grow grapes and make wine, or he was going to do goat cheese. Actually, we were very close friends. You've heard of the Coach Leather, you know, Coach Leather,
like the purse company.
Yeah, yeah, the purse company. I think they still do. They have a artisanal cheese company. That's how we knew them.
Interesting.
And they made Coach Farm cheese, which was like a really like high level goat cheese. So we used to spend a lot of time with them, and it was like this. There was a lot of these older, you know, older kind of gentleman farmer. They called them a gentleman farmer, and then the wine guys and the cheese guys would all get together and all that stuff. So,
I like goat cheese.
Yeah, goat cheese is great. Good.
I'm just kind of a fan of most cheeses, except for I can't really do blue cheese a whole lot.
You know what? It took me a while. My dad was a big blue cheese man, and then when my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, came to visit from Wisconsin, and she heard that he liked goat cheese, she brought, like, some real Wisconsin goat cheese. Real Wisconsin blue cheese. And that was it. He was like, this is the right person.
She's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She knew what to do.
Perfect.
So everything else is good. So the cows on your property, they're your cows?
They are my cows.
Wow.
They are my cows. And I never wanted to be in the Longhorn business, but there was some Longhorns over there and they couldn't get them caught before the place got sold. So I got them caught, kind of looked them over and thought, you know what, hell, these are pretty good looking. I'll just buy these with the property and made them an offer. And they said, we'll take them or they'll take it. And so I've ended up with some Longhorn cows. And then I put a couple of other black Angus cows on there as well.
So how many cows do you have, your own cows?
Not generally a nice question, but I'll answer it, and I'm up to...
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Is that rude?
It is. That's
oh,
like,
I didn't know.
No, of course you didn't know. You didn't grow up around cowboys.
What would be the right
That's the same
way
question as asking, like, how much land do you have to a rancher? Like, it's all the same question.
Okay,
this is my little herd. I'm not, like, I'm proud to have them. So I've got three mama cows on the ranch that I run, and then I've got three Longhorns and two heifers, hopefully soon to be cows, and a bull over there.
That's a lot.
And two calves over there.
Now, I know why it's rude, and I apologize not knowing.
No, it's
now,
not a big deal.
But then, because if somebody asked you that, then the follow-up would be like, oh, well, that's not that many.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's basically like, that's kind of like saying, how much money do you make? Like, you can extrapolate that pretty easy.
So if what would be the polite way of saying, you know, what's the volume? Because
I'm
thinking is you got a lot of work to do. That's all I know.
Yeah, I just don't ask.
All right. That's amazing, though.
Yeah. No, I'm thrilled to death with it. And we haven't really started any work on the house because she took that new job, which it did kind of screw up our plans for the summer. But that's okay. You know, her new job's going to help afford to do better work on the place.
Wow. That's unbelievable. And how's the regular ranch?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Yeah. We've got so much grass right now. And like I said, the summer... We've had a few hot days, but it's been a pretty dang mild summer. I mean, yeah. You know, high 80s, low 90s for the most part.
Wow.
And
so
then,
lots of rain, you said.
Yeah, all spring and up until about, you know, kind of into July, we were getting pretty damn nice regular rain. And then it's kind of dried out, but we got another inch of rain Friday night. Which was we desperately needed, and it's great to get. And yeah, things are just, kids are back in school. They're doing great. Like, everything's just kind of going good.
That's terrific.
The one downfall of everything going great around the ranch is that kind of creates more work for me. Like, you know, the weather's nice, time to work on fence, work on water tanks, you know, kind of get some big projects to get done. So I haven't had a whole lot of shop time, but you know, the shop's always there when I do get a chance.
So how do you schedule your days? Or you go by weeks, or how do you?
Yeah,
how do you figure
it's kind
out what
of it's kind of more like I've got things that I'd like to get done during a week, and then it's some of it's, you know, like, well, I don't feel like working on fence today, so instead I'm going to do some plumbing. And it's you know, I just, like I said, I kind of got ideas of what I'd like to get done. Sometimes the owners have got some things that they'd like done, you know, like, we need you to get all the deer feeders filled or whatever. And so, okay, I'll do that. And yeah. And then, you know, of course, just things happen that derail everything. And so, you know, something happens, a water line breaks. And then, so that's like an immediate problem.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, but you still like it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a variety of work all the time. I mean, there's never 2 days that are the same, which is great for a guy like me.
And then snake season, are we seeing lots of snakes? Or?
Yeah, I killed one Saturday, and I killed one Sunday, and I killed one Monday. And I think that brings a total up to like 15 for the year.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It's quite a few.
I thought you told at one point you said you'd see around 7 or 8 a summer or something like that.
You know, it goes in waves. Like there was one year that I think I killed 4 all year, and then another year I killed 40. But the year that I killed 40 of them, I was out on my horse. Like we were running yearling cattle, which need a lot of looking after, taking care of, doctor and all that sort of shit. And so I was out on a horse all the time, all day, every day. And so I was just out in the pasture more off roads and whatnot to where they're, you know, somewhere they're more likely to be.
I want to ask a stupid question.
Lay it on me.
You think that there's some sort of important part of these animals? Like there's like some sort of cycle of life with all, you know, the spiders are important because they eat the flies, and this is important because this eats that, and this is... What the fuck is good for a rattlesnake? Why? How are rattlesnakes good?
Maybe to keep rodents down is about the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
But I'd rather have rats than snakes.
Bro, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I still have our, you know, fucking monster snake in our roof somewhere.
Oh, but it's still lurking.
Oh, he's in there. I mean, last year he came out a couple times, and then we got rid of him. And then this year he's fucking got bigger and he's smarter.
Well, and he's, of course you don't like snakes because you're not a weirdo. But that snake's got to be, that's kind of like having a barn cat in your shop.
Yeah.
It's
got to
be doing some good.
I've gotten to that point now where I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing we have is we have there was a bobcat this summer. We saw this bobcat by the shop twice. It was so cool. I talked to Riley about it. Riley was saying that he was looking at, and people were like CSIing the pictures, and you could see if I put the first one from a couple weeks before and then the last one, and he was like, yeah, she's got something in her mouth and her belly's flopping around. She probably just gave birth, and most likely she feels comfortable by your shop, so you should take that as a compliment. And it was super cool.
Yeah,
I'd never seen a bobcat before. I've never seen a bobcat before.
I am currently very angry at bobcats because a while back we had, of all the chickens we've had two really cool chickens. One was Phyllis, the white chicken, and then the other one was Longhorn. The kids named that one. But a bobcat came and killed my two favorite chickens.
Yeah.
And then another chicken vanished the other day. And so I'm pretty sure, and Riley, like I talked to him about it, and he was like, yeah, I bet it comes back in a couple of weeks and gets another one. And sure as shit, it did.
That dude knows a lot about what, he knows a shit ton about bobcats. A
lot about cats.
I talked to him last week, and I'm going to have him on sooner rather than later, but when he talks about a bobcat or something like that, he sounds so convincing.
The thing is it's, like, they're a wild animal, but a guy like that is able to observe them pretty regularly.
Right.
And there's just so many other people that observed them that if you take the time to learn, like, you can pretty well learn, like, their behavior patterns and things like that.
I've lived in New York State for 51 years. I've never seen a bobcat before. And now I've seen the same one twice within, like, 15 feet of the shop.
That's
15
great.
Feet of me.
That's awesome.
Oh, I felt like... I mean, when I first saw the bobcat, I couldn't stop talking about him for like weeks.
Now,
and then when I was here with my old lead guy, John Ledford, was here. We both saw him. We were like, we couldn't shut up about it for like a long time. It was as if we saw a unicorn.
Whenever it saw you, did it haul ass or did it just kind of mosey on?
Didn't even look at us.
Okay.
And both time it moseyed. Did not haul ass. Both times it went on the road, not like into the woods or anything like that.
All right.
It was on the dirt road to the shop. And then the second one, he had something in his mouth, like a chipmunk or something. And then he just kind of like moseyed. He didn't walk slowly. The first time he walked slowly. And then the second, Riley says it was a mom. So the second time she just kind of like moved a little bit with a little bit more, you know, intention, but not, I wouldn't say she was running for her life. That's for sure.
I mean, and I've been through the neck of the woods. Like, That's an interesting area. I mean, there's a lot of people, but it also still has got kind of a little bit of a wilderness feel. Like, there's just so many trees.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, kind of right outside of, like, we'll say Peekskill, like, it is just forest, right?
Yes. I mean, my shop is in between is like, there's like a stretch of 100, maybe 100, let's just say 40 yards to the main highway. And then there's houses. I mean, if like when you're at my shop, you feel like you're in the wilderness, but you're not.
Yeah.
So this dude is like, this cat's got a good spot, and it's not in a protected area. We have a lot of parkland and stuff like that, and mountain stuff. But like, I'm still shocked. But I loved it. I'm super pumped.
Now the land around there, is there public land where people can just go hike, or do you have to go to like a state park?
There's state parks here.
Okay.
But there's no, I don't believe in Westchester there's public land.
All right.
So like, there's certainly not. I mean, you can't hunt in this area.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's somebody's property, I guess. But there's no, it's not like public land like where you're at.
Going up there, there's no public land here.
Oh, I thought
Texas. Texas has got very, very little public land. Like Arizona, New Mexico, there's a lot of public land, but Texas is very privatized. But yeah, up there, it blew me away, your neck of the woods up there, in like, one, I couldn't do it. It's just too many trees for me. I felt claustrophobic.
Huh.
But then, wow. Like, how do people keep from getting lost in the woods like that?
They get lost in the woods. I mean, I know that's just what they do. I know there's a park where we live. There is a big trail. There's a set of trails. And there are trails and bike trails, big mountain biking, and there's trails all over the place. And it's like a big spot. Parents lose their kids in this fucking thing all the time. And you see these panicked, stricken parents. Oh, we lost our kid. They're in the woods somewhere. We don't know where they went.
How do they find them?
And you're just like, how the fuck does that happen? I mean, it's not like, this isn't the Serengeti, you know? Oh, that's a bad example. This isn't like the Amazon, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, there are fucking trails and markers and you can't keep your eye on your kid.
Yeah, but I would still assume you get a little bit off the trail. Like, you're out there. Might be pretty difficult to find your way back at times for people.
Yes. 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 There are spots like that where people definitely get lost.
So what's the go-to move? So, like, in this part of the world, you got two options. Like, if you get somewhere and you don't know where you're at, you either try to get to a high point, see where you're at, or you go to a low point and just follow it till you hit something.
I mean, you're talking about...
So, like, if you're out in the woods like that, because, like, that's just not somewhere that I've really got any experience. Like, do you look for moss on the north side of the tree and then follow it? Or what do you do?
That is, like, black belt level Boy Scout being right there that I don't think most New Yorkers are doing. I mean, unless they're Boy Scouts.
Fair enough.
You know, the areas by Peekskill, they're big, but they're not so big. I would be more nervous if you were doing it at night and then maybe you didn't really know where you were and maybe you didn't have a flashlight or something like that. But, like, it doesn't happen very often. The only thing that happens is people lose their dogs.
Okay.
You know, they lose their dogs and then they go chasing after their dogs and then they get lost.
And I assume y'all got bears and shit around there somewhere.
Yeah.
Mountain lions.
You got black bears. There apparently are mountain lions, but they're like very like transient. Like you don't really see them very often in New York.
Okay.
Apparently they come through New York and go into Connecticut for what reason, I have no idea. But like, there's more coyotes, like way more coyotes. So like, if you have a dog, you got to be worried about
now,
the coyotes.
Now, are the coyotes there big?
No, but they're like still pretty dangerous, especially if your dog's little.
Well, like, you know, everybody thinks coyotes in Texas would be big, but we've got little bitty coyotes compared to Montana and some of the, you know, even Kansas, places like that, the Midwest, their coyotes are big.
We've seen small coyotes and we've seen big coyotes to the point where I thought it was a wolf.
Wow.
Because it was big.
Okay.
Two times, actually. Once a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, I was driving from the shop to the post office and this big-ass looking German Shepherd, which was definitely not a German Shepherd, was crossing a street, and it was gray, and it was loping, and I was just like, that is a coyote, and it was fucking big.
Now, do y'all have wolves?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I really am not. I don't pretend like I know, but it was so big, I couldn't believe it. But they're probably a lot to eat, so, I mean, who knows? It could be a big coyote. We've seen there's two foxes in our park that we see a lot, which is, they're pretty cool. And then tons of deer, just tons of deer.
And what kind of deer do y'all have?
I think they're white-tailed deer.
Okay.
But, and then you see them on the side of the road. They get hit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's like disaster.
Well, that was another thing that was just crazy about, you know, especially up there by Duresa's and like upstate New York. The trees are right on the side of the road. Like, there is no shoulder. You can tell where people have been hitting their mirrors on their cars on these trees for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, there's no way to see a deer half the time.
It's tricky, man. You know, I can now understand what you're talking about because, I mean, you know, if you're driving up the highways, and I know the highways that you were on, it's like trees everywhere.
Yeah.
And I feel, I mean, I like it. I'm like, I'm not used to, you know, planes and stuff like that and all that stuff. So, for me, I like it, but it is, you know, there's a lot of fucking shit that lives in there.
Yeah.
And they're perfectly happy. There's a ton of stuff that's, you know, I were talking, you were sending me messages saying, are there animals that live in Central Park? There's a ton of coyotes living in Central Park, and no one knows. Well, somebody knows how they got in there, but apparently they were like walking down the train tracks, and then ended up in Central Park.
For the listeners, like, my kids are just fascinated with Jeff Vader, and to them, like, he's Tom Cruise. Like, the fact that I know a Tom Cruise-level dude in New York, like, they just love it. And so, you know, like, they want to use the Jeff Vader kitchen steak knives, and which sometimes they get to, sometimes they don't. But, you know, they're just thrilled with the idea of Jeff Vader. And so they'll have questions about New York or New York City. And so every time, like, all right, I know the guy to ask. And so I fire off some questions, and one was like, I think it was, I was at maybe asking about turtles.
Yeah.
And they were more asking about, like, not specifically Central Park, but are there just turtles, like, around New York City?
You mean in the walking around the streets?
Yeah, kind of. Like, sewers? No, I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of stories of, like, there are a lot of stories.
I mean, there's alligators and shit, isn't there?
There are alligators, apparently, like, living in the sewers and stuff like that. That gets talked about a lot. I don't know the extent of it. I mean, Central Park is a pretty wild place, and they have tons of vermin, and they have tons of squirrels and birds and all sorts of stuff.
Now,
and
the vermin, is that the transient people, or is that actual?
Yeah, that's all the rats.
Okay.
This is a city of rats, so, you know. Well, listen, we got a lot of news we got to take care of.
Let's do it.
And there's a couple questions from the listeners specifically for you. Let's knock those questions
Let's
out
do it.
For real. So Yako, our man Yako, who's an awesome knife maker, I think it's JVC Custom Knives, he asks, what's the best place to rope a calf? Neck, legs, horns?
Depends on what you want to do. Like, if you're branding, you get them in a pen, and you rope the hind legs, and then if you're out in a pasture, you're going to try to neck them. And then there's also, like, certain guys, I can't do it, but there's a way you can rope their neck and their front legs together.
Dang.
To where it sucks their front feet up to their head, and then if you got them caught like that, you really, like, they're yours.
You get them in the downward dog position.
Pretty much, yeah. That's exactly it.
That's it. I'm fucking... See, New York...
And since it's a calf, we can call it the downward dogie.
The downward dogie.
Because people, like, you hear get along little dogie. A dogie is actually a specific calf. It's a calf that's lost its mother.
Oh, jeez.
And so, if you got a dog... Like, having a dogie sucks, because then you got to bottle feed it and shit. But that's what a dogie is.
That used to be such a sweet little term, like a cowboy term. Get along, little doggy.
Well, the thing is, it's like, yeah, it is. You know, and not, it doesn't necessarily always have to be they lost their mother, but maybe their mama's just not a very good mama, and they give them up for adoption, and you adopt them, and then, you know, they do end up being generally being very sweet, because once they're bottle fed, like, you're their mommy.
Yeah.
Like, they are happy to see you and all that, and they end up very gentle, and, you know, if you got the stomach for it, they generally feed out well when you eat them.
Jeez.
So...
tell you what, I didn't realize that. Get along, little doggy.
Yep.
Poor little doggy. Poor little doggy.
It's
okay,
not doggy.
Next question.
It's doggy.
Doggy, D-O-O-G-I-E?
I've never had to spell it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Doggy. Doggy.
Doggy.
Next one from Yako is grilled steak or pan-fried steak?
Oh, grilled.
What's your preferable?
So I've been on a pretty big kick with those tomahawk steaks lately. And do you, like, you want my full process?
Please.
Okay, so pull it out of the fridge in the morning, let it come up to room temperature between an hour and 3 hours ahead of time. Really heavy dose of salt, like coarse salt all over that. Yeah, you know, like not rock salt, but pretty coarse salt, all of it, all over the whole thing. Start my charcoal. You know, after that sat for a couple of hours, and what that salt does, it starts breaking down those fats. And so, you know, it's up to room temperature, it's salted. Rinse off all the salt as best you can, dry it real good. Redneck saffron, black pepper, or as we say in this house, black pepper! garlic powder and Lowry's, both sides, and then... indirect heat, turning it every 5 to 7 minutes until it's about 120. Quick, pretty hot sear. Let it rest for 5 minutes, and it's time to eat. And that's
medium rare.
It's more rare.
Oh, good, man.
Yeah.
That's way more than I would have. I don't really have a game plan. I do let the steak rest when it's out, and then I season the shit out of it with salt.
So
with
you season it afterwards.
No.
Okay.
No, before.
Okay. All
right. While it's getting a room temperature, and then I'm not the best steak cooking guy. I don't use thermometers. I'm like the touch guy.
Oh no. I've got to use a thermometer, and it just gets me just consistency.
Oh, of course. I don't blame you. I mean,
big steaks, you know, they're like 3 inches thick. Like the push test is kind of hard on those.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a roast.
Yeah, and so, like, if I'm cooking a normal ribeye, it's like, I like pretty thick cut on those anyways, like inch and a half. Like, I can push on those and got a pretty good idea what's rare. And honestly, on a good ribeye, you just nearly can't have it rare enough.
Where do you get your steak?
I feed out a beef. I try to feed out one beef about every year, and that's kind of part of my salary for the ranch. And, If I'm out of beef, which I currently am, I go to Sam's Club.
Okay.
And their beef is like they generally have prime beef, and it's great.
So you're part of, you have an allotment of steaks.
Yep.
And beef. That's pretty
roast,
nice.
Roast, ground beef, all of it.
And you go to like a locker to get it, or?
So I'll feed it out, and then I've got.
What does that mean?
So I get a calf, and then I. Like, instead of taking one to the sale barn whenever it's time to sell, like, I'll keep one back, and then I just feed it until it gets to, you know, around 1,000 pounds, and then I take it in. And, you know, the thing is, it's, like, homegrown beef like that's really good. Like, the flavor is really great. But it's just nearly impossible to get the marbling and stuff as feedlots do.
That's the reason why people are crazy about the farm-raised salmon. The farm-raised salmon is that orange color, and they're fatty as shit. And it's because they're fed all this garbage, but they're fattier than the wild stuff is, like, so lean.
See, and I also, like, I don't like grass-fed beef.
Why?
It's just kind of got a wang to it. One, the fat's different. You know, it's kind of gamey. It's a little.
I know exactly what you're saying.
It's a little gamey, kind of like deer meat, which sucks. And so I like, you know, I feed a lot of corn. The feed, I, you know, it's a finishing ration. It's got a lot of fat in it. And that, you know, converts the corn and that fat and some of the other minerals and stuff convert that fat in a cow from yellow fat, which is that grass-fed kind of gamier tasting fat, to white fat, which is delicious.
I never even, you know, well, you're in the business, so you'd have a much more finer, I guess, taste for it all. I don't eat enough beef to really care.
Oh, I mean, if you had just side by side, we'll just say a New York strip.
Of course.
That's, you know, grass-fed versus feedlot-fed. I mean, it's definitely going to be better with that feedlot-fed beef.
See, here's the stupid part, is I was raised where we had, like, we ate cheaper cuts. Just because my father, funny enough, so my father was well-to-do, but I grew up in the 80s, and, you know, in the 80s you ate London broil, which was a series of different tougher cuts that were just usually marinated and then sliced on of the bias super thin, so they weren't as tough, right? So we ate London. I never had ribeye. I never had sirloin steak. I never had really top tier steaks. So we grew up eating, you know, my dad, when I was younger, I'd have steak once a week, especially in the summertime, we'd have steak on the weekends.
But we have
steak
Sunday
here. It was always a London broil. Pardon me?
We have steak Sunday here.
Yeah, but I mean, we never had like top of the food chain steaks. But one of the things that my dad used to get all the time that is like my kid wanted before she left for college, she wanted to do a steak night. And I said, well, what kind of steak do you want? She said, well, what do you think? And I'm like, well, you know, Ben Fader would have gotten you a skirt steak. And that's what we like. We like skirt steaks because they have a great beefy flavor.
I like a skirt steak.
And you can't really overcook them. And we don't really, rare skirt steak isn't as good as medium.
I agree with that.
It's hard to kill them, and then it's hard to ruin them. And they have great flavor. But the problem is now everyone figured it out, and they're super expensive. I don't know.
What are your thoughts on a filet?
I mean, my sister, when she was her dying wish was for me to come down and cook her, you know, filet mignon. And I was like, yeah, and I know how you like it. You want it fucking, we made jokes. I said, I'll make it the way you like it. Dry, devoid of any moisture, and gray. You got it.
Yeah,
and she's like, that's how I like
just
it.
Just substituted out a charcoal briquette.
I said, I'm going to make it so inedible you'll love it. And she laughed, and I was like, I'm going to make it just the way you like it. It's the easiest thing. I'm going to cook it into oblivion.
I do not, like, a filet is just most overrated piece of meat on a cow.
Well, it's overrated because I feel like people buy things because they think it'll seem like it's better than it is.
Yes.
And filet falls into that because it's like some people just don't want to chew. And then some people think because it's going to be, it's not as fatty. And it's like,
but there's,
it doesn't really do anything for me.
No, like there's no flavor. Like, and we'll cook like a whole tenderloin every so often out here. But, you know, we cook it in butter and garlic and then just do a sear at the end. Because you've got to have all that extra stuff to make it taste somewhat decent.
Right.
Now, have you ever had a hanger steak?
Yeah, we used to have it on the menu at Alva, and it was beloved.
That is an underrated cut of meat.
Super underrated, and it's really, really hard to get, a regular person.
Yep.
I'm surprised that the cuts that people are buying these days, so many people are buying oxtail, which I can't believe.
Really?
It's like my algorithm is filled with people, you know, talking about, you know, how good oxtail is and how expensive it is and how it's getting more and more expensive. And all I could think of, and they said, oh, this is, I got a big oxtail and look how big this piece is. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, and I might've said this to you before, but with oxtail, the bigger the piece, the closest it is to sitting next to the asshole.
You're talking to a guy that eats menudo, so I don't really give a shit.
Calf
fries. I mean, it's proximity to a butthole isn't going to deter me at all.
Oh God, Ben, you're the best.
Now, how are they braising these oxtails?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's any shitty piece of meat braised, you know, like kind of in a French fashion, is going to be delicious.
Yeah,
because it 100%. Just, I mean, it's kind of like whenever you're using the broiler, like it's just stewing in its own juices and getting tender. Like it's going to be good.
You ruined my whole closer to the asshole thing. And now all of a sudden I had this whole thing going saying, you like a big closer to the asshole. The asshole, close, the proximity of the asshole doesn't bother you at all.
No. Does it? It bothers you?
I mean, I think it's funny. You know, I think it's hilarious that like this is this, you know, this big, giant piece of flesh. And it isn't just, I mean, it's marinating next to, you know, not like cows wipe their asses.
Well, they kind of
so
do.
So it's like, I mean.
With their tail.
With their tail, but it's like, that's part of the situation too. It's like you're eating a toilet paper roll. I mean, it's funny. It's fine. God bless you. You're right. You make a good point. Fucking close to the asshole doesn't dissuade me whatsoever. All right, we got some weird news.
Was that the only two questions?
Yeah. All right. I just asked it 5 minutes ago, so. We have some Florida news.
Yes.
We have some Texas news.
I like that, too.
Why don't we see some, I have some stories from Florida. We can see if you like it or not. I'm going to read a couple things. Florida woman marries a tree. I think we talked about her before, didn't we?
I don't know, but consummating the marriage sounds prickly.
Oh, I thought, you know what? It ain't going to get much better than what you just said, so let's keep moving right along. Florida woman blames wind for cocaine in her purse.
I'm game for that. I mean, I feel like we kind of got the gist of it already, but I would like to hear her rationale.
It's not a long thing. It says she had to be high. Kennessee Posey of Fort Pierce was stopped during a suspected DUI. After she was spotted swerving off the roadway, when the officer approached the car, she distinctly smelled marijuana. During the search, the officer found both marijuana and cocaine inside her purse. Percy copped the marijuana, but denied the cocaine was hers. I don't know anything about no cocaine, Posey said. It's a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse. So,
you know, I guess it's worth a shot. Stranger things have happened. We've talked about it.
I mean, you hear it all. I mean, you hear it all. I mean, you got to go for it, right?
Yep.
Actually, there's big news in our town because the local traffic cop who, like, gives tickets, mm-hmm. traffic enforcement, was just arrested for going down to Florida to solicit a minor. Found her on, and I guess you go on the dark web. I don't know where the fuck you find you. She made this, you know, this is a guy who we've seen. He's given tickets to people that I know. These guys looks like a total piece of shit anyway. Before that, get on the line. Don't worry. I'm going to come down there. I'm not going to get you pregnant. I'm going to get you some booze. We're going to have a good time. Opens the door. Bingo, bango, bongo. They're the police.
Perfect.
And I guess he was like so obviously realized how screwed he is that he tried to make them kill him.
Oh wow!
So he thought he wanted excessive force because he just didn't think that life was worth living anymore.
I happen to see a deal about, and it's, I don't know if it's a YouTube channel or what exactly it is, but I happened to see a clip on Instagram the other day where these guys are like setting up these pedophiles to like come meet this girl.
Yeah,
and then I'm not exactly sure what the deal is. They put him in the ring with a professional boxer.
Right.
And I don't know what the end outcome is. Like, maybe, hey, you get in here and you go a couple of rounds with this dude, we're going to let you off the hook with a warning this time. Or, like, I don't know how they exactly get him in the ring. But, you know, I'm kind of intrigued by the idea. I kind of like
it. I don't like all the, like, crimey stuff on. I like the stuff that you and I send each other on Instagram.
Yeah.
Guys getting kicked in the nuts.
Mildly
guys
hurt.
Falling off his bike. Guys, you know, falling off that last one I sent you. The guy falling down that rock cliff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we like.
And then occasionally, like one will slip in there, or somebody else will get it, and like I'll send it to you before I'm done with the video because it's already going good. And then I'm like, oh shit, that guy died, and I don't like
yeah.
that.
There have been some tough ones. There's some tough ones, but you and I are on the same algorithm, too.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're kindred spirits because we're watching the same bullshit. But I don't like the whole, you know, catching criminals. I don't like the people. I don't like the reels of people fighting with the police, arguing with the police. And I know my laws. I don't like any of that shit. I don't like pranks either, frankly. I hate pranks.
I've learned that about you. Sometimes, though, I like to see other people get pranked on there. I would lose my mind if it happened to me.
I don't like when people, like, going into Home Depot and a guy making a noise at him or something or, like, hitting him in the head with a, you know, balloon or something. I don't like that. That's just, like, I don't want to be part of your fucking content.
Well, going back to this gal in Florida, have we discussed fentanyl and drugs and that shit?
No. Oh, by the way, we have to talk about hamstring.
Is it?
Don't let me forget about hamstring.
We can talk about it right now. Is this?
No. Let's go back to fentanyl.
Okay. What? Like, I guess, just countrywide, maybe worldwide. Like, that's all the drugs are laced with fentanyl now, right?
Mm.
It's kind of what I gather.
I guess.
And I don't understand the cartel or whoever is doing this. Like, what's the business model of, okay, we're going to sell our drugs, but we're going to cut it with another drug that's probably going to kill all of our customers?
I think it makes it cheaper.
Yeah, but if you're killing off your customer base, I just don't get it.
They're not killing them off fast enough that it's bothering the business.
I don't see how. I mean, you see these videos and stuff, and, like, a cop or somebody, like, just have rubbed up against it. And I guess, I gather some people are more susceptible than others. But, I don't know. You know, we were always told, don't do drugs, and now we're going to tell our kids, you know, don't do drugs. But then, what if they do? Because they're kids.
Obviously. I was running last week and I found a lot of money on the street. Normally,
right into the pocket.
I was running. It was in the gutter, so it wasn't. Lila and I once walked down the street and there was like a pile of cash on someone's property, and I said to Lila, "Do not touch that money.
Yeah.
You're not going on that person's property." But this was like on the street, exactly where I was running. It was like a small wad. It was like $50.
Hell yeah!
Like, and I was just like. I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to lean down, snatch it up, put it in my, you know, pocket. And then I thought, well, what if it has fentanyl in it? Because, you know, apparently that's a thing too. So I, you know, Hillary and I washed the money. Fucking washed
this
it.
This is how you launder money, apparently.
That's what I said to her. I'm like, what are we laundering money? And then I immediately bought something with it. I immediately bought some booze and I said, all right, the fentanyl 50 is gone. I got some stuff to make honey deuce. I got the stuff to make honey deuces.
Honey deuces?
So now this is we're really traveling the world in terms of our, you know, our different cultures, you and I. In New York, this is the end of summer is like marked by the US Open, which is the big tennis tournament in Queens. And it's the biggest tennis tournament in the United States, and it's in New York, but it's always right during the end of summer and then the beginning of fall. So we always watch it, just have it on. So they have this, they wanted to come up with their own drink that was like close to the mint julep. They wanted to have a mint julep style drink for the US Open. So Grey Goose came up with this drink called the Honey Deuce, and it's Grey Goose vodka, lemonade, and raspberry liqueur.
That sounds delicious.
Chambord. And then they garnish it with these three green honeydew melon balls that look like the tennis balls. So we heard about it, and then we got the shit and bought it, and we've been drinking these honey deuces, and they're great. I mean, it's like, I mean, vodka and lemonade. I mean, give me a break.
Do you go through the effort of honeydew melon every time?
No. We don't fuck with the honeydew.
Because honeydew, you very rarely get a honeydew melon that's worth eating.
Yeah,
it is not near as reliable as like a cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe can be mind blowing,
and really honey good honeydew melon. Like, but there's no in between. There's okay cantaloupe. There's no just decent honeydew though. It's either mind blowing, and 98% of the time it's just garbage.
Yeah. No, melon's a tough one. Mango's too over here. Mangoes is like, you buy mangoes at the supermarket, you are really rolling your dice on your money, whether it's going to be worth a damn or not.
Not a big fan of the mango. Like,
good one. It's unbelievable.
No, mangoes and guavas don't do it for me.
I have to tell you about hamstring.
I want to know about it.
I rarely talk about sexual activities unless they're funny. And I would never kind of talk about, like, sex stuff just because I find it to be gross to a certain degree.
Yeah, we talk a lot about it.
The funny stuff is worth it, in my opinion. And here's the funny stuff. So I heard about what hamstring is. So don't start. Immediately people think, they're doing the old, what's his face?
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere. This isn't the Richard Gere situation. This might be the stupidest and the most hilarious and worst way to spend your sexual time in your life. So what hamstring is, you have to have a car with a sunroof. That's number one.
I'm already lost. This is not going where I thought.
You have to have a vehicle with a sunroof. That's step one. No sunroof, it ain't hamstring. And number two, so what you do is you take all your clothes off, you get a boner, and then you lie on top of the car with your dick hanging down, and then your partner uses your dick like a hamster would feed a water jug. Hey, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I have a little guy got
a little steel tube with the ball bearing. So they just sit there and lick the tip repeatedly.
Yeah. And I heard about this and I thought, this is the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my entire life. Can you imagine?
We just got Alex a new car because she'd get me doing a lot of driving. It's got a sunroof. I'm going to have to report back.
But I mean, which way do you go? I mean, let's just talk about that.
I feel like you got to have your head to the back of the car.
See, now that you got a good point, because
if you're facing forward, sliding down the windshield.
You'd have to use your hands to post yourself up.
Or do you use your trunk as an anchor?
The whole thing's hilarious. And then, but if you're facing back, then your legs are dangling. Your legs are, your knees aren't past the windshield, so your fucking toes are dangling. The whole thing is ridiculous.
It's absurd. Now,
so there you go.
Is this something that people, is this one of those things that people are actually doing? Dude. Or is it like a Dirty Sanchez? Nobody actually really does that shit.
But it's funny to say. I don't know, but it's the same thing like that video that you sent me a reel that you were hoping that we could talk about that turned out to be fake. That it said you sent me this, you were begging for it, and I was really begging for it to be a real story, which was doctors are begging their clients to not insert spring rolls up their assholes. You're like, we gotta do this one. I'm like, I'm with you. And I'm just like, yeah, it turns out it's not, I don't think people are doing that.
You know what? The fucking internet nowadays, like, you just can't trust shit.
I mean, how am I supposed to do a podcast and we do weird news if the weird news isn't even true?
You know what?
I believe the hamstring is true.
Maybe we just start doing it anyways, because who cares? Nobody's listening.
When you sent me the one with the doctors say don't put spring rolls up your ass, I was like, this is going to be a good one. And then you were so sad.
I was very disappointed.
Very disappointed.
I could see it being like some weird thing in college, like a hazing thing.
Yeah. Like when they
come eat your Chinese food with your butt.
Yeah, there was a thing where I guess the pledges used to have to put a hot dog in their butt and then stir a drink with the hot dog on. You know, it could be.
Well, yeah, I tried to find some other weird stories and didn't really come up with much.
Oh God, the hamstring though. I mean, that just seems like
how exactly did you come up with that?
I don't know where it came from. It fell on top of me, frankly, and I was just like, I got to remember this sometime.
Well,
and then the whole thing is like, what if the car's hot? And then, like, you're on top of there. And
well, you're
how
not
you gonna...
doing this in the middle of the day in the summer in Phoenix.
You know what? I'm the dumbest. I honestly am just like, you know, if you're hot for it, you just turn to your significant other and you'd be like, hey, baby, turn up the sunroof. I'm going to stick my dick down into the sunroof.
Instead of having you suck my dick right here, I'm going to get on top of the car. What?
Yeah. And, well, but yeah, it's like, but why do you have to get on the roof? You got to get on the roof. Open the sunroof. Wait, why? Why can't we just not have to do that? No, I need it dangling like a fucking chandelier.
No.
But this is so uncomfortable. And then you got to move the seats up. And the whole thing is a disgrace. But the funny thing would be.
But who's in the worst position, honestly?
Oh, the woman. The woman who has to deal with this fucking dangling dick. But you know what you have to do?
I don't know. I mean, you're out there bare ass.
Yeah.
Just that's laying on top too. Of your car. I assume you keep your shirt on. Probably, you know, you got everything on. You just got your pants pulled down. What if a raccoon happens upon you or something?
Now that I think about it, I mean, you just have to kind of like, what if somebody comes around?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have to go down the fly. The move would be you would have to as a because jokes are more important than personal happiness. You'd have to start closing the sunroof.
That's what I was thinking.
In the mid,
like
imagine
if she had some sort of like a. I don't know, fight that she hadn't gotten over, and you get your dick in there and zzz.
Oh, dude, if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about hamstering someone, you're obliged to start closing the sun. Just start closing the sunroof. You are obliged in the midst. That is. I'm telling you, that is the law.
Please email all of your discoveries and details to fullblast.com.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta fucking. I mean, if you're not closing it at least for a second, you're not doing the right thing. All right, here we go. Oh, this is a good one. this is a good one. I mean, it's stupid, but it's a good one. This comes from the fire rescue. They say don't store your guns in the oven. Virginia Fire Department offers safety advice after explosion.
You know, Darwinism.
I do not want any amendments changed. I am a totally like 100% for not changing the amendments. But some of these motherfuckers don't deserve the right to bear arms. They don't.
No, if you're a felon or you're just fucking stupid, you don't get a gun.
Virginia firefighter issued a public warning after they said a homeowner accidentally cooked a handgun that was left in the oven, causing a blast. Firefighters were called on September 5th after a resident reported an oven had exploded in their Chesterfield home. When firefighters opened the oven to investigate, they found a handgun inside. It turns out someone turned the oven on with the gun inside, the weapon heated up, and 5 rounds went off. Authorities said no one was hurt. Cooking off, quote, cooking off, also known as thermal inducing firing, happens when unfired ammunition detonates due to the heat from its surroundings, according to the Journal of Franklin Institute. A photo shared by the official showed the glass door was completely shattered and partially melted gun was stuck to one of the shelves when the authorities removed it. Firefighters didn't release any additional details, but urged residents to properly store their firearms. These pictures show you why you should never put anything in the oven. You should never store anything in your oven. When you place an item in the oven, it's easy to forget where they are, which can lead to fire or something worse when you turn it on.
This is...
So...
Water is wet.
Yeah.
Like, this goes without saying.
Well, Darrell, this is the reason why McDonald's has to say caution, coffee's hot.
Well... I did find one story that I'd forgotten about.
Let's lay it on me.
Man claims to experience bizarre Ozempic penis as studies reveal penis size growing substantially.
Whoa.
So apparently you can get skinny and your dick bigger with Ozempic. So,
dude, this is a miracle drug.
I fucking A right. Like, if I start looking like a heroin addict pretty soon, you're going to know what's going on.
with a giant dong.
Huge dick.
It's going to be like, if you see a skinny guy in a cowboy hat hamstering on the roof of his truck.
Yeah, it's going to be so big, she's going to have to lean her seat all the way back.
It's going to be like a punching bag. One of them bags that hang from the ceiling that those guys are like working on. Those big, heavy bags. Fucking, it's going to be like, hey, is that Ben? No, that's his penis. Ben's just hanging on for dear life.
But yeah, I mean, so apparently there's something to do with better blood flow with less fat on your body is giving dudes bigger dicks.
Dude, what won't this drug do? They're saying, Hillary is telling me that Ozempic is going to be considered one of the greatest discoveries of all time because, number one, it was meant to say what is called a GPL doc block or something like that, GLP block. So it's meant for diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when you start to, you know, a side effect is you start to lose weight, and then it clears your it helps your cholesterol, it helps with weight loss, it helps with so much stuff that it's like people are starting to not, they don't know the bad things about it except for it's expensive as fuck. But all of a sudden it's just like you started adding on, yeah, you take the Ozempic, you're gonna get smaller, but you get a dick in it and get bigger. Who's not gonna take it?
There's some, like, the science or something behind Ozempic comes from the Gila monster. Which is...
Is this a joke?
No.
Okay.
No, like...
I thought you were going to hit me with a joke.
No, this is... It comes from the Gila monster, which are those weird, slow-moving lizards out in, like, Mexico, New Mexico, and Arizona that can go, like, a month without eating.
Huh.
And that's somehow, like, there's some correlation between the way a Gila monster operates and the Ozempic.
Hmm.
Because you never see a fat Gila monster, at least not for too long.
You don't see a lot of fat animals in the wild.
No, you don't.
I mean, really. I mean, unless they're in some type of captivity, you don't see obese wildlife.
No.
Maybe a bluegill.
Raccoons.
Or a bass. Yeah, but I mean, usually those ones are the ones that live near a city where there's plenty of garbage. But like,
yeah,
I'm not surprised.
I don't think I've ever seen a fat jackrabbit out here.
No. Never. I mean... You know, here's Hillary thinks that Hillary and I are very like, people send me messages because I'm, you know, still doing a lot of running, and this week's going to suck, by the way. I'm getting all these messages about, oh, you should be on these peptides or you should be on these amino acids and, oh, this is supposed to be really good. And anytime I bring it up to Hillary, she just laughs at me and she says, it's all bullshit. All this stuff, all this bro science bullshit is, you know, you can get the same vitamins and the same nutrients and the same things from just a healthy diet and sleep. You know, like all this other stuff's all horseshit. But she says that, you know, Ozempic really is good for, especially for people who have you know, diabetic and stuff like that. And part of me has like a problem with, you know, I know a few people are on Ozempic for weight loss. And part of me is just like,
cheater.
Yeah. I mean, sorry. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, I work out because I'm just trying to like stay relatively healthy, but I'm not like a fucking Adonis. You know, I'm fighting my age. I'm fighting my genetics and stuff like that. It's hard work. I can't eat the things that I want to eat. And I know that I can't drink when I want to drink. You know, I can't eat what I want to eat. And it's because I'm trying to get myself healthier and I'm working hard. And then these motherfuckers are just like, they post their pictures. Look how much weight I lost. Well, you didn't.
Yeah, but what did you do for that? You got a shot. You know, it's kind of the same with, like, gastric bypass. Or not even kind of. It's the same. Same thoughts.
I mean, I don't mean... obviously, everyone's in different... You know, I'll get messages saying, well, you don't understand this kind of situation I'm in. I'm with you.
Well, and, you know, I can see it.
Listen, enjoy your giant dick, too. That's... I mean...
You know,
don't worry about what I say.
Some people are at that point, and they're probably diabetic anyways, but they're at that point, like, you can't work out.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you've at least got to get a jump start to get to where you can even try to be healthy.
I'm for it. I just don't like the whole, hey guys, look what I just did.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop it.
No, I'm with you there.
But God bless you. Listen, now you got a big dick, too. So it's like, I don't want to hear any complaints. So that should be part of it, too.
I wonder what it does for women.
Oh, I mean, like, who knows? I mean, at this point, blood flow. I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ. I mean, take your pick. But I mean, I'm only hearing what you were referring to about penis. Yeah. It's like, if you're a depressed person and you take Ozempic and lose a pile of weight, I don't think you're allowed to be depressed anymore because you have a giant penis.
I agree with that.
I think that at some point, you got to learn to say, you cannot be so entitled. I mean, you got the giant penis now.
You're thin.
That's enough. Thin.
Huge dick.
Big dick.
Still ugly.
Yeah.
But
it's like, you can have a good personality.
What more could you want in life?
Dude, you've won. You've won from a shot. Giant penis. I mean.
Do you want other big dick news?
Do you have
big dick news? I do have another big dick news.
Let's go. Let's close this bitch out with some big dick
news. Man with the world's largest willy slips, breaks his arm in the shower because giant penis got in the way.
Jesus.
Being well endowed isn't all it's cracked up to be. We've heard people whose mammoth members have injured their partners. However, a UK man with the world's largest Johnson repeatedly hurt himself after slipping and breaking his arm in the shower because his titanic tallywhacker got in the way. It's a very embarrassing accident, Matt Barr told Jam Press of the phallus-induced injury. The AI specialist frequently goes viral for his enormous unit, which at 14 and a half inches long.
Oh, my God.
Blah, 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 blah. What happened?
That's like a short pant. That's like a pant leg for shorts.
Yeah, he's got to have three pants with three legs.
Oh, my God. If he's hamstring, he's also gear shifting.
Oh, one of the issues with being so large, especially in hot water showers, is that it's not exactly easy to see my feet. I don't buy that.
Dude, fuck this guy.
I don't buy that. Fuck you.
Fuck this guy, because if you hurt yourself, I fell because my dick is so big.
Yeah, that's just making an excuse for hurting yourself, and you happen to have a big dick, and so once again, let's get in the news.
As I was rushing to get ready
for work, I didn't see the excess shower gel in the tub because my penis was the only thing in my eye line.
What a douchebag.
Yeah. Well, that's...
God.
That's kind of the long and short of it.
It would be funny if he said, like, I couldn't see the shampoo bottle was on the ground lying, and my penis was like blocking the sun, and I couldn't see the shampoo bottle. It was an eclipse. It was a total penis eclipse.
Man, when that guy goes to the bottle, beach, he probably ties his towel to his pecker and just sails around in the ocean.
I don't like this guy. You know, that's like, why'd you break your arm? Well, I fell in the shower. That's the name of the story. That's it. But it's just like, yeah, I wouldn't have fallen in the shower if my dick wasn't so big. Say more.
What a crock of shit.
After all, this is epic.
What a crock of shit.
What an asshole.
What a fucking asshole.
That's what. If you have a giant dick and you're making everything about your penis, you're a terrible human being.
You got not a single other redeeming quality.
Yeah,
you got nothing going for you.
Total douchebag. Just enjoy, you know, keep your mouth shut about your big dick, because this is, nobody cares. I mean, some people probably care, but you're not getting any, I don't like him.
Oh, God,
I don't like
there's
him
a
at
picture
all.
Of him.
Oh, no. Send it over here quickly. Oh, no. Send it over here quickly. Fucking guy.
Coming your way. Oh, man. He looks like just, and there's a, of course,
dude,
there's an enormous imprint of his dick.
This
in his
dude
pants.
Is horrible. Oh, yeah. That look of his face, he's got this face where he's looking longingly into the camera with his finger.
I feel like
hand
he's looking down upon everybody for having tiny little penises.
Oh, there he is. He looks like he looks like a giant.
Just a fucking
douchebag with his, well endowed. Guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he damn sure has got no other redeeming quality. Like, if he didn't have a 14 and a half inch dick, he's never getting laid.
You know what would have been funny is he went to the hospital, and he started saying, hey, "I broke my arm. I think I hurt myself." And then they said, "Well, what happened?" He's like, "My dick was so big and I couldn't see it." And then they broke his other arm. The just like at the hospital.
Get the fuck
like,
out of here, you fucking
fuck you.
Asshole.
Take this, too. Well, I ain't got much better than that, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Snure, it is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Enjoyed it.
You are the man. And I'm always glad you're here. We got to do it again. I got lots more gross news. But that was good. You brought some fucking heat.
I tried.
So I appreciate it. Guys, I want you to go follow Ben on Instagram, wherever Ben Snure is. He's got a YouTube channel. And I'm going to also link where you can buy his hammers on the show notes to this show, as always. Ben, you're a pleasure. You are the man.
Thanks for having
me. And I look forward. Oh, dude, it's always a blast. So you're going to be back soon, and thanks again.
Yep.
Guys, we'll see you next week. Thanks again.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.